Now I've got author Barry Kinnerk on the line, and Barry has written a book about the history of Moore Street. It's a new book which charts the history of Moore Street. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Pat.
Nice to talk to you. You're welcome to the programme. Now tell me about the book, Barry.
Well, I suppose the book is the first one to be written about the market, and the idea came from the fact that my dad grew up in Little Denmark Street, just where the ILAC Centre is now. And I grew up listening to all the stories about the Lime Yard, where they used to take the cattle at the back of Moore Street. It's hard to believe today, but just that street that ran parallel just to the back of Moore Street, they used to bring the cattle in there, and all of that meat would have been brought out fresh into the butcher shops. And so he grew up there in the 1940s, and they nosed around there for cartridges. They used to strike them off the cobbles, and they used to actually get bladders and blow them up as footballs. Imagine it.
The kids did, yeah.
They did, yeah, yeah. So that's where the idea came from, and I suppose I realised it hadn't been done, and I said, well, I'll try and take it on and see where we go with it.
Yeah, okay. Just tell us the title of the book.
Yeah, it's called Moore Street, The Story of Dublin's Market District, and it's by Mercier Press. And I suppose one of the features of the book, well, the thing that made it for me anyway, were the photographs. So we've over 120 in the book. And some of them, Pat, would have come from an appeal we launched last December in the Evening Herald. And people were giving me photographs and backs of attics and drawers and so on. Some of these haven't been seen before, so that was the really exciting part for me, to try and bring the market to life in that way.
Yeah, well, I noticed, Barry, that you're a member of the Genealogical Society of Ireland and you're a postgrad student of St. Patrick's College in Drumcondra. You would have done a fair bit of research on this, isn't that right, Barry?
Well, that's right. What I started off with was really the methodology, or how I went about doing this, was I said, well, I'll get in myself and just do a proper, thorough historical study. So I looked at the history of each and every little street, who it was named after, and I should say it's not just the history of Moore Street, of course, it's the history of all of those little lanes: Coles Lane, Little Denmark Street, McCann's Lane, Sampson's Lane. A lot of these lanes are, of course, now gone, and each of them had its own little story. You would have had, for example, Taff's Row, and Richard Taff was a butcher, and when they went down once, he was fighting a duel. This is in the 1800s, and he left a note on his butcher's block. And I said, I bequeath my soul to God, my body to the resurrectionist medical students and scalping knives. So wow. It just gives you an idea like that. Each of these little streets, they were named at, like, you'd Horseman's Row. Now, there was an actual Martin Horseman. And how I found out about that was I went up to the Registry of Deeds and I looked at the history of the actual buildings themselves. And once I'd done that, I said, well, Janie, a book on Moore Street is not going to be a book on Moore Street without speaking to the traders. And so that was the second part, actually get down and interview those people as well.
Yeah. I just noticed here, you spoke to May Gorman.
I did, yeah.
She's 91 years of age and she's crowned the Queen of Moore Street in 2005.
That's right, yeah. What a fantastic lady. And May is in her 90s now, and she's only given up selling in the last couple of years. And it was an absolute privilege at the launch, actually, to present a painting of May to her two granddaughters, and just to see the sheer delight in those girls' eyes. May was raised by her Aunt Henny, was Little Denmark Street, as I said, where my grandparents came from. And she sold fish for years and years on the street, and she's lots of very good sayings. But May's favourite saying is, every day is a good day when you can put your 2 feet to the ground. And sure, that's a maxim we could all live by.
Of course it is, of course. Yeah. When was the launch, Barry?
The launch was on the 23rd of October, and it was in the Mansion House. And with Pete St. John, of course, of Fields of Athenry fame, he came along because, of course, he wrote the ballad Rosie Up on Moore Street. And himself and his good friend Val Brady, they regaled us with that. We had a bit of a knees up because, of course, a launch about Moore Street is not a launch about the market unless you have a song as well. And, of course, a lot of the history of the market can be told through song and ballads.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed you interviewed a lot of people. Just to name a couple, Bill Cullen, PJ Gallagher and Keith Duffy.
Well, that's right. I mean, we all know the story of Bill with Penny Apples, and he came up through the market. And I suppose if you look at any of the people I'd interviewed, and of course there were comedians in there as well, like PJ Gallagher and Brendan O'Carroll and so on, but the comedy side of it, it really was born from experience. I mean, you know, it was hard graft, and you know, it's what Brendan O'Carroll calls the market citrus wit. But there were lots and lots of people like that, you know, the good and the great who contributed to the book, and you know, and lots of ordinary unsung heroes as well.
Yeah, I remember years ago, Barry, when I was. When I was a young lad, where the ILAC Centre is now, if we just go back to talk about that for a few moments, there
sure.
was do you remember the old market shacks that used to be there that you could amble down, and there was clothes for sale and boots and shoes, and this is going way back now.
Well, that's it. No, I know where you mean. I mean, you have Riddles.
It's long gone. Do you know what I mean?
It's long gone. Yeah.
But I remember that. That's a vivid memory that sticks in my mind. I was very small at the time. I remember being brought down there, and there was a kind of a scary air to it as well, from the perspective of a very small young boy. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It was quite dark and kind of foreboding in that sense, you know.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's stuck in my memory for ever since. Like, and
yeah.
You know, I remember one. I just recount one incident there that I remember when I was a teenager too. We were down in, a friend of myself, we were down in Moor Street. We were cutting through, like as you did, from Henry Street to Parnell Street.
Right. Yeah.
And there was an incident there one particular day where a lady had her handbag grabbed.
Oh, God.
Her bag
yeah.
was snatched. And me and this other guy decided we'll be chivalrous young men, and we chased after the handbag snatcher, who was an older guy. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't a young fella, like, but
yeah.
like you'd envisage a young guy. He wasn't. He was a man in his late 40s, I'd say, or 50s.
Right,
and
yeah.
we chased him down through the Warren of Alleyways.
Sure.
And we caught up with him. But the thing is, he turned on faces and he whipped out a huge big knife and started waving it in our direction. So, needless to say, we backed off at that stage.
I'd
you know what
say,
I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, he looked like he was well prepared for that sort of eventuality. But that's another, it's
well,
a negative,
well,
I know, but there you go. But
I mean, obviously that was very vivid and it was sick in your mind. Funny enough, a lady told me there this morning, she spoke exactly about that, about, you know, when somebody would have their handbag stolen. She just talks about the charity, because her parents would have sold just outside where Troy's Butchers was, the original Troy's, you know.
Yeah.
And she was saying that someone's bag was taken, everybody would rally around on the street, they'd make a little collection for them, you know, and they'd really try and help them out. There was great charity down there as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What you're saying about the back lanes, yes, I think that comes across, that certainly came to me across me in the photographs, because I'm of a generation, fortunately, all I ever remember was the ILAC. But if you look at some of the photographs in the book of Coles Lane, you can get a sense of how dark and narrow some of those, Anglesey Market and so
yeah.
on, Rotunda Market, Horseman's Row, Norfolk Market, they're very windy little alleys. I can imagine to a child it would have been very frightening.
Yeah.
And of course, Gareth Keogh, you know, the actor Gareth Keogh, well, his family would have sold clothes down there. His grandmother Maggie May sold, and he talks about how the area had become dilapidated when he was a child. I mean, a lot of those houses were just allowed to, the top stories would have fallen down. He wasn't allowed to play upstairs, and really the centre of the place, I suppose they call it Tin Town, you know, it was fairly run down, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, which is a shame.
Well, there would have been from my recollection, you know, and having read Dickens years later, there would have been that Dickensian kind of atmosphere about that part of those lanes in Moor Street.
Absolutely. And there's a thing, when you look at the amount of people who've wrote about the place over the years, Charles Dickens actually in one of his stories mentions Moor Street. Would you believe that?
Really? My
yeah.
God. Can you recollect which story it was?
He brought out a book, I think it was called All the Year Round. It was a collection of short stories, and he tells the story of a Jarvie who he'd taken this fair to what was then King's Bridge, you know,
yeah.
Houston Station.
Yeah.
And anyway, the man didn't give him the proper tip. So the next time he said, right, you know, he was taking him from the old train station up just off Phibsborough there.
Yes,
the
yeah.
used to be train station. He was taking him from there, and he said, right, I'll have to measure this fella the next time. So what he did was he took him down Moor Street, and he purposely got stuck behind a dray, you know, unloading.
Yeah.
And of course made the fella late for the train. I just thought it was amazing.
Got his own back, yeah.
But there you go, Dickens. You know?
Barry, what's your attitude towards the Moore Street of today now with regard to preservation and stuff like that, you know?
Well, we all know the market has fallen in harder times, and as Jimmy O'Dea said, he said, go down to Moore Street and get your nose educated. But today, I suppose, that dictum really is as likely to apply to the smell of French bread or Middle Eastern spices as it is to what would have been the traditional fare. And it hasn't always been an easy accommodation. I mean, the street now caters for lots of nationalities. The Chinese, for example, would buy up the fish heads that would have been thrown out years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside, I think the traders obviously still are in the shadow of this development. Now, we don't know if it will definitely get the go-ahead, but what I would like to bring to the table is, look, we've got the famous terrace, which we all know is very historic, and it was the last stand of 1916 leaders. But alongside that, we have a living market as well. And I feel that the two go hand in hand. If you look at the Venice Charter, which talks about historic monuments, it says, well, it's not just the monument itself, it's the environment in which the monument is situated. So in the case of Moore Street, it's not just the terrace, it's also about the traders who are side by side. So rather than just the bricks and mortar, I'd love to see them protect what's left of trading down there, because there are so very few of them left, and it is really part of the heart of the city.
Yes, well, you mentioned a different dynamic down there now, and it really has a different dynamic in that sense that there are multinational stores and everything in Moore Street. It's changed utterly in that sense, hasn't it really?
Oh, it's changed hugely, and I think one of the things that sometimes works against the traders is that, unlike markets internationally, it doesn't function as a market in the sense that each of them operates individually under the Casual Trading Act. Now, one of the ideas that, and there's a great bunch of traders down there who really want to work to save it, one of the ideas they have is that they'd like to bring in a kind of a middle management agency. So you'd get rid of all the cigarette trade, you'd get rid of the illegal selling, you'd open up the street at night and at weekends, mm-hmm. you know, bring in cafes and things, because if you look at the street after hours, it's just dead. You know, it shuts down, everyone's gone home, and the soul has gone out of it. So there are great plans, but I don't think it'll be Moore Street as we know it. It'll be more like a farmer's market. You'll have the craft goods and everything, but there will be changes. I mean, to keep it alive, that's inevitably what will happen.
Well, that would be a positive move if that were to happen, Barry. I mean, but wouldn't the existing street traders be still there, like in situ, if this happens?
But I think probably what they need, well, what they're looking at is, let's say you've got 7 or 8 people selling one particular type of produce, that you'd have someone to step in and say, well, look, there's 4 or 5 of you selling fruit and veg. You know, you might make more of a profit if one of you diversified into this or that, you know, into different types of goods.
Yeah.
Just to kind of help them along. Yeah. But yes, I mean, that's the staple, isn't it? Wouldn't it be lovely to come out of this museum they're talking about for 1916?
Mm-hmm.
You come out of the 1916 museum, you get your piece of fruit, your connect. Only last week I was on Henry Street, and there's Pat, and Pat Liddy, I know him well. In fact, he's a great inspiration to me, the historian Pat Liddy.
Yeah.
But as you know, he does the walking tours through the city. And there's a lady standing right at the junction of Moore Street, and she's explaining to a group of people from abroad all about the market and how it would have worked over the years and so on. And it just brings it home how fantastic it would be if we had the terrace spruced up just in time for the centenary, and we had the museum open and the market alongside it. It would be a great draw. They'd feed off each other, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would be absolutely amazing, Barry. Listen, just before I let you go, your name struck me as something that I heard in the past. Kinnaird, the name Kinnaird is quite unusual, isn't it?
It's unusual, yeah.
I'm just wondering, you can say yes or no. Do you have any relations who lived in the Ballybock area by the name of Kinnairks in the 60s, 70s?
Yes, yeah, of course. Well, I mean, I grew up on just between Ballybock and the Strand. My parents still live down there.
Bayview Avenue, is it?
Well, Charleville
Avenue.
Yeah. So I in many ways, I suppose, I would have had a similar childhood to my dad because, the inner city was our playground during the summer. We were down on the railway tracks, we were down on the canal, we were in the Liffey, climbing up piles of ropes of ships, we were blowing up tyres and going down the Talca. So I grew up down there, and as I said, the family is still there.
Right, listen, if you just stay on the line when we finish the interview, I'd like to just ask you a question about that, about your name.
Sure.
Nothing too personal, okay?
You're okay.
Okay, Barry, listen, I'll be talking to you again. Just stay on the line for us, okay?
Okay, great.
Thank you.